Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Art of Selling podcast, and on the show we talk about the best kept secrets that can help you sell more stuff to more people. And over the last how many years now, we spent close to R1 million learning from some of the best marketing gurus, business coaches in the world, and now we're sharing all of that information for free so that you don't have to struggle the way that we did. I've got Gilbert with me today. Gil, how's it, my guy?
Ah, excited to be here. New setting, you know?
So, yeah, cool.
New vibes. I'm excited to be here, man. Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. So we were talking and we said today, there's a couple of things that we want to unpack, but one of the core elements will be lead generation. One of the core topics will be lead generation. I think it's obviously something a lot of businesses would get a lot of value out of. But there's a lot of nuances around lead generation, and we want to unpack some of them and maybe give people clarity on what will work best depending on how much time, resources, money, all of those things you actually have, because that's what's crucial. There's no one approach that fits everybody at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the common themes around this, or the common topic, is how do I generate leads? What is the best way to generate leads? And there's actually multiple ways to go about doing it. And maybe just to kind of like highlight the number of ways, first and foremost, is one, if you're running ads, you can run what we call Facebook lead forms. You can run WhatsApp ads. You can run ads to a website, which I think typically a lot of people have.
Yeah, most people just have a website and they point all the traffic at the website, hoping for the leads to actually find the contact us button and then hopefully, you know, become an actual prospect and a customer.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also get landing pages, which again, that's something similar to, I guess, it's more of a high converting product that you put out there, a page that is more directed to getting the conversion because there's less distractions from what you've just said, a website, there's buttons here, there's WhatsApp, Messenger, approaching on your right-hand side, there's help, there's a contact page here, there's a home page there. So a landing page just kind of like simplifies simplifies the process for somebody to convert. And it's a squeeze page as well. So it squeezes out all the distractions and there's a greater chance of succeeding at converting somebody on a landing page. And typically those are the different methods that you could utilize when it comes to generating leads for a business.
Yeah, I think there's, in conclusion, so we've got, if you had to generate leads for your business, whether you're big or small, you can turn to something like Meta or TikTok and you can go and do lead forms like you said. You can look into WhatsApp campaigns through Meta. You can look at driving people to the website, which in some cases might work, in some cases might not. Most of the time it doesn't. You can look at landing pages / funnels, like you said, it's a bit more specific. And then don't forget about Facebook Messenger, which is also a big one.
Absolutely.
But I think the core question is that at the end of the day, like, when do you use what? Purely because of the fact that there's all these options available. It can easily paralyze you. It's like, okay, we have all these options. Which one do we actually pick? We need to pick a lane and we need to start seeing what's going to be best for our business. So maybe we can unpack what benefits of each one of these are. So, I mean, we have big clients using lead forms. We have small clients using lead forms. And in some cases, lead forms work and in some cases they don't, specifically from a Meta and a TikTok standpoint. So If a business would have to come to you, at what point would you suggest that a Facebook lead form would actually be applicable to them? And when do you think it's a good time to actually use that?
Yeah. So, one would recommend Facebook lead forms if it's a business that has a strong resource in the back end, meaning they have a team that is able to handle volume of leads that come in. The advantage and the benefit of running Facebook lead forms is that it is so easy to open it up when I respond to an ad and to fill in my details. So the experience is very seamless and lead forms make acquiring the information that your team might need to contact individuals very easy. It's already native on the platform. Mm-hmm. So there's no friction points. And that's what gives the advantage of running Facebook lead forms. And it allows you to acquire those leads at a much larger rate in a, you know, depending on how long you want to run them for. But the chances of you getting an uptick is much higher because it's already on the platform. It's native and it's easy to open up and put in your details.
And they're also cheaper.
Absolutely. And so, and I think it's also because it's got that autofill feature. So there's only, you know, depending on how many, again, depending on how many questions you want to ask, it already pre-fills some questions for them based off of, you know, their number, their name, all of that is already on Facebook. So it easily autofills and then they just need to fill in the qualifying questions that you might have added to that form.
So what I'm hearing is it's super easy for someone to leave their details after they've clicked. There's very little friction. That little friction actually, and is the convenience, ensures that more people actually submit their details after a click, which means you're going to get more people to inquire overall. So that's why you speak about the uptick. And then because of the lack of friction, the actual cost of the lead is also less. But the problem with that is that often you might find, you know, weaker quality leads within the actual, you know, submission forms. And that's, I suspect that's why you're saying you need these resources in the back to ensure that you can potentially filter things accordingly and make sure that if there are leads that are showing promise, that people hound them and stay on top of them and don't necessarily let them fall through the cracks because of the fact that more people will be inquiring.
Yeah.
You want to have a way to quickly qualify who's worth contacting and who's not. And I mean, you can do that with logic statements and if statements now within the Facebook lead form itself, from what I understand and what we've seen. But the reality is, with all this volume that's coming through, you're going to need a team to stay on top of those leads, because those leads might not be as engaged as someone who is very qualified that might have come through something like a website or a funnel or a landing page, etc.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, maybe to your point is also, one can argue and say weaker, maybe they're weaker because you didn't have necessarily the ability, the speed to actually get to all the leads that were coming through, and they ultimately lost interest over time and then they became weaker in that sense. So if you don't have the capacity, if you don't have the resources to be able to manage a large you know, volume of leads, then lead forms in the beginning at least might not necessarily be where you want to start working from.
Well, unless you have a very small budget. But I think it comes down to having time to actually make sure that you contact those people. Yeah. Because you can always lower the budget and have fewer leads come through, but then you're going to have to stay on top of those leads. And I think you mentioned this. Another reason why those leads might be weaker quality is because you didn't have the luxury of a website to further articulate what you're actually trying to promote or sell. You have limited capabilities to clearly explain what you're actually going to get by leaving your details. And therefore, the lead might be a little bit confused or not 100% sure what they're actually submitting for their details for.
And that might segue then into potentially that's when you might want to actually look at putting a landing page together where you can have the luxury of better articulating what it is that you're actually selling, what value you actually provide. And obviously then use some of those, some of that information to better articulate to the customer or potential customer what it is that they will be getting if they do submit their form. And I think on a lead form, it gives you, I always like to call it, it's similar to having a sales person in front of the person that is submitting the lead form. So you must always look at any page that you actually build, whether it's a squeeze page, whether it's a landing page. Ultimately, your landing pages are replacing a salesperson. So you can imagine putting yourself as a salesperson. What would you be saying? What would you be articulating? What would you be putting in front of a customer as I'm looking at you right now? That is everything that would ideally go onto that sales page. And there you have more leverage. You have more wiggle room to actually fully articulate what it is that the customer is going to get at the end of the day, because it's not always the easiest thing to to put it on an ad, you know, writing paragraphs upon paragraphs. We're on social media, not everybody's there to actually sit there and read paragraphs of paragraphs. Sure. But they know if they obviously go to a website or if they go to a landing page, that's typically expected to see a lot more text, to see a lot more content. And that's where you can really take advantage of a landing page to do that.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that because you are articulating the product better, people have more time to actually read about what you're actually trying to sell. When they do, they leave their details, they will have a higher intent of actually wanting to buy the product or service. Where with the lead form, you that kind of like lose that luxury. So with the lead form, a lot of the selling is going to have to happen in the back.
Yeah.
After someone has inquired with a landing page or a funnel, and we'll elaborate more on this a little bit later, a lot of the selling happens on the front end, and you're still going to have to put effort in to make sure that people convert from that lead process. But people who jump on a call with you, people who are asking for a quote, have a very good idea of what they're actually going to get on the other side, which is really cool. And I mean, from there's also, you know, WhatsApp campaigns that we touched on, which we think is quite beneficial, especially for small businesses. And we've seen some really good success with WhatsApp campaigns for both B2B and B2C businesses.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I always look at it in the context of also, again, where you are. in South Africa, we know the usage of WhatsApp is quite high. I don't know the exact percentage, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's at least 90% of people are actually on WhatsApp. It's, in fact, the most used app, social app, in South Africa is WhatsApp. So how I look at it is always, again, this isn't a platform that people are already using and people are already on, versus potentially you maybe sending them to another, you know, a website. They're already used to using WhatsApp. So why not engage them on a platform that they're already used to engaging with? And so, and I think part of the success that we've seen on some brands is because of the fact that WhatsApp is just native to them. Yeah. They're already used to using it. And that communication just becomes almost second nature for them to engage with you on that platform.
And it also builds a lot of trust and credibility because you're speaking to, most of the time, a human on the other side.
Absolutely.
And you can pick up when you're speaking to a human and when you're not. So if you are speaking to a human, which is necessary for a conversation to happen, you know, then it's a matter of building or understanding that you're actually building trust by having a conversation with them. Mm. But how I see WhatsApp is, it's like a little bit of the wild, wild west, because anybody can come in at any time and ask a random question. And you don't necessarily know where the lead is in the journey of wanting to buy your product or service. Is he in the stage of actually not knowing what he actually needs? Is he aware of his own pain points? Or is he in a stage where he's aware of the pain points and he's looking for a specific solution? Or is he in the stage where he's looked at your solution and he's ready to commit? From a WhatsApp point of view, you don't really know. Mm. And the conversation can go in any direction. But that's where you can use automation in order to streamline the process a little bit better, in order to get someone to take the necessary action. So if someone says, you know, contact us, and they actually go through to the WhatsApp platform, because that's what happens if you're advertising on Meta, you're going to run a WhatsApp campaign, which is one of the objectives that you can do. And after they click on the ad, it will take them straight to WhatsApp. And then you can streamline that process a little bit with automations.
Yes. So over the years, Facebook has, you know, improved itself. And obviously Facebook owns WhatsApp. So they've improved themselves quite a bit in a sense that they've actually allowed for capabilities around having automated messages get prompted depending on how the consumer wishes to interact with the business and with the brand. So, you know, in the beginning stages, maybe someone is just looking for a little bit more information about a particular package. They are able to be prompted and are given the options of saying, click here to view more about this offer, or click here to speak to a consultant, or click here to view pricing. And you're able to actually, to a certain degree, manage and navigate and kind of like also dictate where those conversations are going based off of the actions that they're taking. So you're actually able then to, I mean, if I click pricing, I mean, one could assume that they obviously then know what the product is, and they've probably got information. If they're asking about pricing, then you know that could, you know, prompt an individual or your salesperson probably who's manning the conversations to see, oh, this one clicked on pricing, but after that nothing happened.
Yeah,
you can simply reply to them and say, hi there, my name's John. I'm, you know, head of sales. I noticed that you were interested in the pricing. So could I maybe get on a call with you, or would you like me to assist you with anything? But at least there, you know, they're likely got the information, but now because they clicked pricing, that conversation is about they're closer to the sale than somebody who's clicking on view more.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, there's a different conversation that's going to end up happening there.
Yeah, man. I think WhatsApp, and it works for both B2B and B2C. We've actually seen having a WhatsApp option on your website for an e-commerce business can help you get, a lot of people have questions that they would like to have answered when they're looking at a specific product, especially on the e-commerce space, right? And there's nobody ready to chat to because it's not like walking into a physical store where you have a sales representative ready to help. And that's where WhatsApp actually makes such a cool difference, because someone is happily, well, someone would happily just click WhatsApp because they have it on their computer or on their phone. And if you're browsing on mobile, it's so convenient to tap WhatsApp and just start chatting with someone on the other side. It's like, hey, just looking at this product, does it do X? Is it, you know, healthy for? And someone on the other side can reply, which now builds trust and credibility. And that is the biggest issue for e-commerce stores, is trust and credibility at the end of the day. It's like getting people to actually trust that your business is legit and that you're going to be able to ship their product in fair time to them, and they're actually going to get it for the money that they've spent. And I think that conversation kind of like bridges that gap for them.
Yeah. At some point, we used to talk about conversational marketing.
Yes.
Right? And this is where that is literally a part of that, is conversational marketing is becoming human. You're talking to people. And again, you're breaking down those fear factor. Maybe I've still got reservations about certain products. Oh, there's a person I can speak to behind this brand that can help answer my questions, that can direct me in the right direction for the product I'm looking for, specifically for skincare and cosmetics. Anything that you need to apply on your face, or even supplements, anything you need to ingest. That is where the conversational side of your marketing actually becomes so powerful and advantageous than maybe running just a lead form. Right?
I suppose as a business owner, you're going to have to ask yourself, how complex is your service? Yeah. And are people asking a lot of questions around your product or service? And if so, then, you know, having that WhatsApp option on your site or running WhatsApp campaigns can actually help, especially if you're starting out.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about funnels and landing pages and why that is such a cool tactic. And then I want to conclude maybe just with like when to do what, you know, depending on the size of the business that you have, depending on the budget that you have, and depending on the resources that you have. But yeah, in terms of funnels, I love funnels. And you know this, like I'm at heart, I'm a direct marketer. I know you are too. And I've been building, you know, V8 funnels since we started. And that puts me in my happy place. And, you know, in 2021, we smashed it out of the park by tripling our growth with one funnel. I think we did 6 million that year with one funnel. And it was like literally just a two-step funnel that we did. Obviously, we're catering to other businesses, but it worked extremely well, and we were able to scale quite quickly. And I think the reason it worked so well is, the reason I failed with landing pages and funnels in the past was of the psychological disconnect. I think when people build landing pages and funnels, there's always a psychological disconnect between the ad and the actual landing page itself. So for the sake of the conversation, let's pretend like your ad, your advertising, your paid advertising campaigns is in a strong connection with the actual landing page that people end up on after the click. Let's talk a little bit about why the actual landing page or a funnel is such a good way to get quality leads, if obviously you have the budget to justify it.
Yeah. So I think one of the advantages of funnels is it's almost like having someone's full attention. Like right now, you and I are talking here. Right. I've taken you off of any other distraction. I'm taking you off of a platform, Facebook, that is very distracting. And there's a lot going on there. And I'm bringing you into a room where you and I can be face to face and have this conversation. And so I have your full attention. We're marketing. We're all marketing our businesses, but we're all marketing for attention. So the best way, one of the best ways to capture the full attention is through a landing page. Or a squeeze page, squeeze all the noise away and let them focus in on that specific offer, that specific product, that specific benefit that is going to take them to the next level in life, or, you know, better their outcome. And so when it comes to quality in terms of, you know, generating leads, what the funnel does is it allows you to, one, look at your lead form and have specific questions that allow you to qualify individuals. Now, yes, you, to a certain degree, you can actually also do this on Facebook, but with a funnel, because you own it, there's a lot more wiggle room,
agility.
And agility to manipulate the forms and ask specific questions that in actual fact, Facebook doesn't allow you to ask. And so what ends up happening is that because you own the landing page and the website to a certain degree, it is your ability to then ask the exact specific questions that you require to know whether this is a qualified lead or not. And ultimately, that then gives you the ability and the leverage to know that if I'm following up on a lead that has just filled in, you know, my five questions that are crucial for my business, I know that someone that has filled in this is likely very qualified, and therefore I will, you know, reach out to them. But you don't always have that ability to do that on other platforms or like Facebook. Certain questions you can't actually ask, and that may hinder your ability to create, to acquire those more quality leads at the end of the day.
Yeah, man. I think in a nutshell, a landing page with a specific message where all distractions have been removed will allow you to generate higher quality leads. But the flip side of that is that the cost of that lead will be higher. And because there's more friction, mm-hmm. they have to click, they have to go, they have to wait for the landing page to load. Then they have to read all the content that you have put together to try and repel, on purpose, obviously, bad quality leads. And then the people who are left over will be, I would say, decent quality or qualified leads, but that will come at a higher price. And I think lead forms will allow you to generate more leads at a much lower price. However, it's like casting a net in the sea, not really 100% sure what you're going to get. And you're going to get all this fish, but it might not be all the same species, or might not be all the same, you know, type of size. Mm. And you're casting a wide net, you're pulling it in. Now you have all this different kind of fish. Now you have to filter what fish you actually need, you know, in order to sell to the person who, or the company that actually wants to buy the fish or whatever it may be. And that's how I see lead forms. WhatsApp, I see, is a little bit like the Wild Wild West, where anybody can come in, but it allows you to establish trust and credibility, and it gives the person on the other side to ask questions around the specific product or service, which is great for companies who have complex products and companies who are aware that people do ask a ton of questions about their products. And then on the landing page and funnel side, obviously, you know, that is a great way to increase the quality, but you need the budget to obviously ensure that you can sustain generating those leads at the end of the day, because those leads will be more expensive. And then, I mean, we haven't really touched on Facebook Messenger, so maybe we can quickly, I mean, it's very similar to WhatsApp in a way from a methodology standpoint.
Yeah, pretty much so. I think one of the things about the Facebook Messenger is that they're different platforms that actually connect really well with the Facebook Messenger. Yes, you could use Facebook Messenger as it is, and its abilities to actually automate messages and replies and so forth. But over the years, there have been a lot of platforms that have actually built into and connected really well with Facebook Messenger. And what they allow you to do is go onto more advanced levels of automation and certain triggers that, you know, depending on the action that a customer has taken, you could have this automated. It's almost like literally a salesperson on steroids, because they would literally be able to follow each and every step along the way as a bot to a certain degree, up until they do request for somebody to speak to somebody. But they are abilities for you to get a lot more advanced with the journey that a customer can actually go through, because they've been these platforms that have developed over time to integrate very nicely with Facebook Messenger. And, you know, some of them are quite maybe, well, there are quite popular ones like ManyChat, for example, that exist out there. And with platforms like that, it just gets a lot more advanced, a lot more complex as well. And if you know how to use it, it can become, you know, salespeople for yourself, but obviously on steroids, and you might not have to pay an arm and a leg to get them to help you close a deal.
Yeah, is it safe to say that at the end of the day, between WhatsApp and Messenger, the biggest difference is that with Messenger, you can do a bunch of additional automations and triggers and if statements, logical, you know, statements, where with WhatsApp, you probably don't have that luxury right now as of today. But at the end of the day, I think both platforms are conversational, which is great. But Facebook Messenger has got just all these advanced features in it that you can leverage in order to further the conversation and further qualify the lead. I think one thing that people might be asking is, you know, depending on the size of the business, the budget and the resources, when do I pick what? So I think from my mind, if I'm a small to medium-sized business who don't have a lot of budget and don't have a lot of resources, how do you go about actually generating leads? If you're a one-man band or a two-person show and you're looking for essentially consumer-facing leads, let's say you're an accountant or you are in a financial space where you might be selling, you know, maybe even insurance at the end of the day, like you're a broker that's trying to grow your practice or your business. How would you really go about, what would be a good option to start? Like, I mean, just maybe unpack that quickly.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I was, financial advisor or broker, and I'm thinking to myself, where do I start? I would, one man band, I would actually leverage Facebook lead forms, but not to the extent of going onto the platform and, you know, spending 2,000-4,000 rand a day, because I might get an influx of leads that I can't handle. Mm. And if I'm one who knows that I would be able to have the capacity to handle the bandwidth and to do the follow-ups and to potentially even call them when they fill in their lead forms, just because I still haven't gotten a response in the last 2-3 days from them, what's up them, I would probably run at a very smaller budget in order for me to be able to give the attention and the follow-up processes that exist that every business ultimately should be doing, where you get a lead and you've tried to possibly contact them once and you realize there was no response and then you leave it. But you must remember that lead is maybe busy. That lead, when you were trying to contact them, they weren't available. And so you are going to likely have to do follow-ups 3-4 times, email, try and call. And if you have the capacity to do that as an individual with a smaller budget, which ultimately you would probably be able to do, I would start there as a place for me to at least start getting in leads and also following up on those leads sufficiently and making sure that I'm attending to each and every one before I completely cancel it out and say, these leads aren't qualified or aren't quality. Mm. And that's where I would actually start, to be honest, just a small budget.
I think I look at ourselves and we have some big clients using lead forms as well, but they have a call center on the back of that to make sure that most of them go through the right process in order to convert. But I like opting for landing pages for our service specifically, because there's so many nuances around what we do. And if I had to run a lead form asking someone if they want digital marketing, we can get anybody asking anything from a logo to an email campaign to, you know, a boosted post or a community manager. And that's not stuff that we do. So the reason we opt for landing pages and funnels is because we have a very specific service that we offer in a very broad industry. And I try and educate the people, especially about what we do and why it's beneficial. And that allows us to generate leads at a good cost because of the structure of the funnel and obviously the ads. But at the same time, it removes a lot of noise around weaker quality leads who might be like, oh yeah, that's not what I'm looking for, and I'll just rather drop off. If I had to do it in a lead form, there's not enough space for me to really clearly articulate what we do and how it works. Even if I put if statements in there to further qualify them, it'll be a situation where we might be pushing other people away that might be interested in the exact niche or service that we're focusing in, but we might be losing out on those people. So I just found, having tested everything from messenger ads for our business to lead forms, funnels just work best. And at the end of the day, I think the reason for that is because we have a very specific service in a very complex industry. And I think the conclusion I want to make is that all these strategies exist. There's no wrong or right strategy at the end of the day. All of them can work effectively well. But what determines the success of it is you understanding your own business and your own service and your own target market. And understanding that will allow you to pick a channel that can actually generate leads at the best, most efficient cost. And if you have obviously a committed sales team or you committed to, you know, converting those leads into sales, then you will see success. I think, I don't know if there's any 2 cents that you want to maybe add before we round off, or
pretty much what you were mentioning is that there is no right or wrong, right, a strategy. Or there is no this is going to work and that won't work strategy. A lot of it comes down to, as well, testing. Like you said, we've tested out lead forms. We've tested out sending page traffic to a sales page and a landing page and so forth. And we found what worked. And so you might not even get it in the beginning, to be honest, right? And at some point, the lead forms that you're running ads to, you'll realize that they're actually just not sufficient for you to, you know, generate business. And you might want to switch over, also depending on where your business is. If you start growing and you start getting a lot more complex and you have more complex services, that lead form might not be sufficient anymore. Mm. And now you have to look at creating specific landing pages for those specific services. So there is no right or wrong in the beginning. And I think it is a matter of, it comes down to testing. But yeah, I think from our side, that's kind of like where I'd round it off.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thanks for your time today. I really enjoyed it. And I hope that you guys found value in it too. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks, guys. Cheers.